That's Big Ben on the difference between Aaron Rodgers and not having Aaron Rodgers. He put a 4-win difference. Steelers would win 11 games with Aaron Rodgers, one better than last year. That would get them, I think, in the conversation for the division. I think 11-6, and you're right there.
You're not getting the top seed in the bye, though, at 11-6.
No, but
I think that discussion starts
you're
maybe
squarely,
at 12.
You're squarely in the hunt, especially if there's three teams beating up on each other with the Bengals and Ravens, too. And without Aaron Rodgers, with Mason Rudolph at the helm, Ben deducts 4 wins. And he says it's because of HOF, because Aaron Rodgers is bound for Canton one day like Ben.
We know Ben respects Rodgers.
He does.
Like,
he loves him.
He does
him.
Very few of his peers.
Got beat in a Super Bowl by Aaron Rodgers. My 3-letter word would be OLD for Aaron Rodgers. And that's why.
What does that stand for?
That's old.
Oh.
It's not an acronym. It's just old.
Oh.
It's just a word, not an acronym.
Gotcha.
And that's why I don't see an 11-win season after he won 5 last year with the Jets when they had great receivers and a defense that the year before.
How much of this
really
gap
good.
Is explained to not just by Ben's respect for Rodgers, but by his still, I would say, frosty feelings toward Mason?
Well, Chris Carter, who does more than just catch touchdowns, evidently, he now writes for the Post Gazette as their Steelers reporter, or one of them. They have so many, it's hard to keep track.
A phalanx.
He said this hot take. There's more hate between Big Ben and Mason Rudolph than there is between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Topical. How many of our listeners can just name the city each of those two plays for in the WNBA?
I think they could get Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese is a little bit of a
toughie. Well, she doesn't technically play in a city. She plays for a state.
I don't get why Ben punches down as much as he does on Mason. I understand why if you're Mason and you feel like Ben hurt your career and your chances to be the starting quarterback here, I get why Mason would have ill will towards Ben. I really don't get why Ben would feel that way about Mason and take subtle shots at him whenever he gets a chance.
Do you know of any like genuine behind the scenes beyond Ben questioning the pick immediately and not giving Mason really any of his time? Like, were they chirping at each other? Because I almost got the sense that like Mason wouldn't have had a chance to offend Ben behind the scenes because Ben never spoke to him.
No, I heard that Mason, the way he carried himself when he got here, did not endear himself to Ben.
So how was that?
He acted like he was going to be the successor and he was going to push Ben out the door. And that really ticked Ben off, which from what I've read, Jeff Perlman wrote a book about Favre. And in that book about Favre, he said that was the same reason why Favre and Aaron Rodgers got off to such a bumpy start, was because Rodgers went in there and I think he even went as far as there's something apocryphal, like he shook Brett Favre's hand and said, "Hey, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm here to take your job," or something like that.
Well, that doesn't leave much wiggle room for interpretation. I don't know, man. When I hear Rodgers talk publicly, and I know a lot of these guys are means like cameras off, they can be a lot different, a lot more loose and comfortable. It's really hard for me to imagine Rudolph coming in as a third round pick, not a first round pick, and strutting into the place like he's Vince McMahon walking through the
curtain.
But
if the GM says he's got a first round grade on you and talks you up like you are going to be.
Wait, do you think Mason's pretty smart? Because like he did acknowledge like what guys get paid and what guys,
yeah,
like where they get drafted. I don't care if the GM said he had a first round grade on you. He drafted your teammate you were throwing the ball to before you.
Right.
So I don't care if he says that. If I'm Mason Rudolph, I'm like, if you had a first round grade, you'd have taken me at least in the second round, and you didn't.
Mason, I already referenced this today, sounds kind of sheepish when he does interviews. I don't think he's great at it. So the Mason Rudolph we hear does not sound like someone who's exactly oozing confidence.
Right, like he's going to go in there like strutting. That's what I have a hard time.
I don't know. That's what I heard. Aditi's going to join us at 4:15. She was around for those days. She was in the facilities. Maybe
I just
she
don't
heard
think
that.
It does Ben a ton of. Not that Ben cares what I think about how he talks, but it's like odd to me that he would use his platform at all to even like subtly punch down at Rudolph. What does it gain you? If like to say like I'm surprised he didn't say, oh, they'll go 5-12 with Rudolph or something. Like he kept that at a somewhat reasonable number, I guess.
You think it is reasonable that there's a 4-win difference between the two guys? I don't.
I would be more like if I'm going Rudolph low end, Rodgers high end might be 11, but I doubt it. I think it's more 8 and 10 if I'm making that thing. Like a 1, maybe a 2 win difference. But really the number here is it's 9 and 8 with Aaron Rodgers, and it's 9 and 8 a different way with Mason Rudolph.
I like the last comment Ben made. He didn't even look at it as a positive that you went 11 and 6 with Aaron Rodgers, because it would just hurt the Steelers' draft position, was the thing that he sneaked in there at the end. So, you know, Ben, the thing that's unique about Ben living here is that he still clearly listens to what's being said about the team.
He's plugged in.
And I think he actually has a very good sense for, like, the pulse of the fan base. He does a show that is all about, you know, we're ratings-based. He's subscription-based for YouTube. And I think he's already got over 100,000 people that are subscribed to his channel. And Ben does a good job, I think, of putting his opinions out there, but at the same time, not saying things that are going to, like, sit badly with the fan base. The only thing I think he risks right now with this is, as I say that out loud, fans love Mason Rudolph.
He's turned into the people's champ.
No doubt. Mason Rudolph is more popular than Aaron Rodgers with Steelers fans. I would even say that Will Howard's more popular with Steelers fans than Aaron Rodgers is.
Well, the longer the Rodgers thing drags on with no official resolution, I think the longer people who are in, who would put themselves in the middle and say, I don't really care that much one way or the other, are just like, ugh, it's just getting annoying. I don't dislike the player even or the person, but God, this is just getting tiresome. Like, I think that would be a natural human reaction to Rodgers right now.
I think the difference between the two is more like 9 absolute best case scenario with Rodgers. And if I say worst case with, like worst case scenario with Rudolph, it's 6. But if I actually do what I think is going to happen if both guys play, it's 8 with Aaron Rodgers and it's 8 with Mason Rudolph.
It's folly, though, to say 8, because unless you got 8-8-1 up your sleeve.
No, I'm saying 8-9. I feel good about that. I think he's going to have his first losing season regardless of who plays. And I think it would be hilarious if Mike Tomlin, the guy that we still see, my friend Nick Wright, top 5 coach, complete crap, Mike Mularkey and Doug Marrone have won playoff games more recently.
Nick about that?
I tweeted it and he never got back to me. So he had bigger fish to fry yesterday.
I think you got to text him with that one and say, Nick, what are you doing?
Yeah. And then he'll say like, oh, like,
I was busy hanging out with, and he'll just name
somebody. Oh, Lil Wayne texted me about my Packers take. Screw off. Okay.
LeBron actually texted me just to see how LeBron I was doing.
LeBron dapped me up at a game, which is true. He did the opposite of what he did to Stephen A. Smith to me. He acted like he liked me.
Wait, is Nick on good terms with Stephen A.?
I don't know. I've never asked him that question, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Now Don, I kind of want to know.
What do you think the difference in wins is between Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers? Do you agree with Ben? And do you think Ben did this because it's out of his spite and disdain and dislike for Mason Rudolph?
I think there's always going to be a little undertone of that. I don't think it's that great of a difference. Like at the peak of Aaron Rodgers, I think they are 11 wins. I agree with him there. But I still think it's 8, and I would go with 9 if they get the peak Mason Rudolph play.
Okay, and I did the same game where I said like best case for Rodgers and worst case for Mason Rudolph to get the true like golf or range of outcomes, but just your expectation for both guys, what you think would actually happen, not best or worst case, what you would predict to happen. 17 games Rodgers, 17 games Rudolph is what?
I think it might be a 1-game difference. Like what I would actually go with if Rodgers.
So predict Rodgers.
Signs would be like 10 and 7.
Okay, and then predict Mason. 9 and 8.
That's
why signing Aaron Rodgers to me, if fans feel like Donnie does, how many 10 and 7 teams do we see win the Super Bowl?
I mean, the Giants won it as a 9 and 7 team.
Yeah, that was 2011.
You know, back in the day.
I mean, 10 and 7 probably gets you in.
You got to be right kind of 10 and 7 team to have a chance. Like a team that scuffled because of injuries and got red hot.
9 and 8 is on the cusp. 9 and 8 teams get in and get left out every year. So this is where I'll tell you where it does make sense. Let's go back to Rooney's brother talking about outperforming the mean.
Love that.
If you're trying to outperform the mean and that's actually your goal as a team, if the brother of the principal owner was telling the truth, which mm-hmm. I think he probably was, then if internally the Steelers have the same projections or same view of themselves as Donnie, well then 10-7 versus 9-8 is a big difference. To me, I think it isn't, because it backs up what Ben said. It just makes you even further away from getting what is probably the most important thing to do in 2025, which is get the best draft pick possible.
In the long term, it makes your life as a franchise more difficult.
Yeah.
It just does. That's the simplest way to
put
it.
And I'm going to reference my guy, Ross Tucker, who we know is obviously smart because he went to an Ivy League school. He's Princeton educated.
How many Ivy Leagues were you accepted
Columbus,
into?
Columbia and Cornell. And then Princeton would look down on both those places. And we'll talk to someone who went to Cornell later in the show. But Ross's take was, what do you really get if the finish line with Aaron Rodgers is 10-7? What will you've truly gotten out of this season? You'll be no closer to figuring out who your long-term quarterback is, because you will have just handed the position over to a 41-year-old man.
And if he goes,
that's not a solution.
And if he goes 10-7, there's almost no way he'll have looked good enough where you could somehow talk yourself into like running it back with him.
Why would you want to do that?
I'm saying if he went 13-4, it would be, and he looked somehow like he had found the foul.
Yeah,
if you squint and you could say, all right,
if he's
I
Tom
guess
Brady
we do this.
In Tampa,
yes,
exactly.
I guess we do this again. But if he's 10-7, there's almost no way he individually looks good enough where you could talk yourself into it.